Good morning, afternoon, evening, whenever you might be listening in and joining us in church. May this time with God be an encouragement to you, mindful that we share it with brothers and sisters in Christ, listening in from wherever they may be. For those listening in who don't know me, my name is the Reverend Trevor Young. I'm the Senior Minister here at Abbotsford Anglican. Welcome. Today we continue our Bible teaching through the New Testament letter of Philippians. What do you think of when you hear the word humility? There might be some who are thinking, I know a few people who need a dose of humility or two. Be that as it may, I don't think any of you would cringe or say, forget it. But some might be frightened by the word, fearful of abuse. Humility for some can mean being taken for granted. However, I guess most of you would think it's putting the interests of others before ourselves. For we who are Christians, having the mindset as that of Christ, being a servant to one another, and you be right. The writer of Philippians wants us to know humility is something to rejoice in. It's how we encourage one another for being humble. Having the mindset of Jesus Christ in relationship with one another is conducting ourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel. Our mission focus for the month of October is on the ministry of the Bush Church Aid Society. In particular, we're praying for the work of Daniel and Rebecca Farrisee in Kununurra, northwest Australia. And the Anglicare Agency of Care, we're remembering and praying through this month of October, is prison chaplaincy. Today, helping me in the service are Stuart and David. Stuart will read the Bible readings for us, and David will lead us in prayer. The children are meeting via Zoom in Kids Church. We trust again that they're having a fun time learning of God. And we're mindful of their leaders too. Thank you. So to prepare ourselves, let us hear from the word of God from Philippians. Whatever happens, conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Heavenly Father, this time with you and your people is special. Take our anxious thoughts and let us know your peace, your presence, and your power. May we listen to your word with expectation. Engage in what we pray and say, and worship you with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We've come together as the Church of God to fix our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith, to encourage one another, to hold fast to the hope he has given us, and to spur one another on to love and good deeds. So let us begin our time of worship and encouragement by singing the hymn, Lord, for the years.
Oh,
Living our lives for Christ alone doesn't mean we do so alone. We share in doing so with brothers and sisters in Christ together, past, present, and future. The way we remind ourselves each week in the Anglican Church is by affirming our faith in Christ, by standing and saying together a creed of statement of belief. So let's stand and say together the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. From there, he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Before Stuart comes to read to us from the Bible and I give today's Bible teaching, let me pray. Gracious God, your word is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. Today, when we hear your voice, deliver us from hardness of heart. Help us to put away everything that keeps us from persevering in your way for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. Our first Bible reading for today is from Philippians, chapter 1, verse 27, through to chapter 2, verse 18. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then, whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in the one Spirit, striving together as one for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God. For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for him, since you are going through the same struggle you saw I had, and now hear that I still have. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky, as you hold firmly to the word of life, and then I will be able to boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labour in vain. But even if I am being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. So you too should be glad and rejoice with me. Our second reading is from Matthew, chapter 5, verses 13 to 16. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
I don't think whilst under house arrest in Rome awaiting trial for the defence of the gospel that the Apostle Paul didn't notice the daily routine, the discipline of those who were in charge of watching over him, the Roman soldiers. I'm sure there were days as they marched by their oneness in unity and purposefulness caught his attention, their focused minds on tasks at hand. Maybe he was able to see them from his rented house practicing their military drills, locking shields, moving forward and backwards confidently, mindful of each other as one man with one purpose. And as they rested at ease, chatting amongst themselves, observed their pride, their appreciation, their desire to conduct of themselves in a manner worthy of being Roman soldiers. I don't think such would have gone unnoticed by Paul and had some bearing on his teaching, on his choice of words as he wrote to the church in Philippi, a Roman colony. Up to this point in the letter, Paul had described himself as in chains for Christ. Yes, he was in prison under house arrest in Rome awaiting trial for defence of the gospel. But as we heard last week, the phrase in chains for Christ meant more than just imprisonment, a phrase not just the apostle but every Christian could take upon their lips. It meant being taken captive, movements controlled, under observation, freedom inhibited, contained, opposition, frustration, disappointment and discouragement. Furthermore, for Paul, it meant uncertainty whether his in chains for Christ would lead to life or death. The impression we get as we read through the first chapter of Philippians was that the work of gospel of God through Paul appeared to be hindered, that what had happened to Paul was hardship for him, suffering. Yes, it was suffering, but further from the truth was it a hindrance. Paul chose to rejoice in his hardship, his chains for Christ, and he wanted his readers to rejoice also in his hardships, his suffering, and in theirs, because what had happened to him had actually served to advance the gospel. He saw his time in chains to be for Christ as an opportunity to still make Christ and the gospel known by word, prayer, and deed. And in this he rejoiced. In our chains for Christ, we too have opportunities for Christ to advance the gospel by word, prayer, and deed when the opportunities arise, to give a reason for the hope that we have, and in this, therefore, we do so rejoicing. We pick up from where we left last week with our Bible teaching beginning at verse 27 of chapter 1. Turn with me, will you, to the verse if you've not done so already. Whatever happens, Paul continues. Paul is referring to whatever his outcome would be. Whatever happens, life or death, freedom or continued captivity, He wanted to know that the Philippian church would continue to conduct themselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, verse 27. Worthy of what God had achieved for them in Christ, done for them, forgiveness of sin, friendship with God. What it deserved from them was not only appreciation to God, but the discipline to be one in mind, love, spirit and purpose as the people of God. This was important to the apostle. It would make his joy complete to hear of it so. He wanted to boast about them on the day of Christ, when Christ returned and his kingdom came, and to know that his labor, his gospel ministry was not in vain. I take it Paul needed encouragement, just as much as the church in Philippi did, in whatever hardship they may have found themselves in. We don't realize how important encouragement is until we don't receive it. We all need encouragement as Christians from each other. For the reality is, as it was for Paul, so it will be for us. For look there at verse 29 and 30. It has been granted also to us on behalf of Christ to not only believe in him, but also to suffer for him. The Christian life is not an easy one. Who am I to tell you that? You know that all so well. Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Suffering is our lot. Suffering comes in all shapes and forms. It's not necessarily just persecution. It comes simply from living life God's way in a world that chooses not to. We feel it like, can I use the example, like a salmon swimming against the world flow. The suffering that comes from our struggle with our sinful nature. The suffering that comes from those who we grieve for, who still do not understand the gospel message and its hope or oppose it. The suffering that comes from days of doubts, fears and ridicule, and disappointment. In our suffering, in our hardships, in our chains for Christ, we all need encouragement as Christians, encouragement from each other. Paul needed encouragement. He needed deeds done that encouraged, good deeds, and he needed to see that the church in Philippi was doing just that. Let your light so shine before others that they may see your good deeds, said Jesus, and glorify your Father in heaven. What is that light? More so, who is that light? It's Christ, is it not? Who he is and what he has done for us. He is our encouragement, our light in our darkness. He is our brothers, our sisters' encouragement, their light in their darkness, our hope in our despair. What are the good deeds? Look there at verses 3 to 11. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself, not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interests of the others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. Humility. Valuing others above ourselves with good deeds that encourage. with discipline, having the same mindset as that of Christ Jesus towards others as he had towards us. Doing so out of appreciation to God. Then whatever happens, we conduct ourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Prayer is the privilege of talking with God. He hears us when we pray and answers us in a way that is best for us and fulfills his good will. God desires that we know forgiveness. He sent his son Jesus to achieve it for us in his life, death and resurrection. When we meet together, it's right that we confess our sins, seek his mercy and be reassured of his forgiveness. So let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we praise you for adopting us as your children and making us heirs of eternal life. In your mercy, you have washed us from our sins and made us clean in your sight. Yet we still fail to love you and serve you as we should. Forgive us our sins and renew us by your grace, that we may continue to grow as members of Christ, in whom alone is our salvation. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ was sacrificed once and for all to bear the sins of many. God therefore forgives those who look to his Son for mercy. Amen. Heavenly Father, we pray for Daniel and Rebecca Farise, Rachel, their daughter, Jessica and Emily. Lord, we're mindful today in our prayers for them that remoteness, being away from family and friends, can be really lonely. And so today we pray that, Lord, you will encourage Daniel and Rebecca, Rachel, Jessica and Emily, that they might be very mindful of you being with them, present in their time of ministry in Kununurra. Lord, we pray that they might find the joy of partnership with those in their church. That as we've heard today, Lord, that encouragement can be a real means of helping us to persevere in our walk with you and in our ministry for you. So gracious and heavenly Father, strengthen Daniel and Rebecca. May they find joy as a family in serving you this day and every day. Surround them with encouragement and encourage us to pray and to continue to pray for them throughout this month. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. David's going to come now and lead us further in prayer. Thank you, David.
Let's start our time of prayer this morning with the words of the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Lord God, we thank you for the passage from Philippians we've heard from today. We ask that you will help us as your people in this congregation to conduct ourselves in a manner worthy of your gospel, so that we will stand firm together whilst we strive as one. Help us to be encouraged by each other as we are united with Christ. Through your Spirit, help us to be like-minded and value each other so that we can look to the interests of the people around us and not our own interests. Give us the nature of a servant so that we can love each other with humility and peace and without grumbling or arguing. And we ask that you will then help us to shine like stars in the sky as we stand out from the people around us, so that they will see that we hold firmly to the word of life. Lord God, we thank you that you have taught us these truths today, and we ask that you will help us to hold on to them and make them real and visible in our lives. Amen. Almighty Creator, we praise you as the creator of all things. At a word, you created the heavens and the earth. You brought into existence all that we see and are amazed at. We are in awe of the splendor and majesty of what you have done. From the far reaches of the galaxy and the distant stars to the tiny microscopic life that teems around us, you are the author of life, and all that we see around us reveals who you are and makes yourself known. We thank you for making your eternal power and divine nature so clear by the incredible variety of your creation. We praise you and you alone, for you are the creator whose name is exalted, and your splendor is above the heavens and the earth. Amen. Sovereign and mighty Lord, we continue to pray for the world, our nation, our city, and ourselves as we respond to the coronavirus pandemic. We thank you for the amazing progress that has been made in our state to achieve a high vaccination response. Thank you for the health workers who have helped to make this happen, and we thank you that this has allowed restrictions to be eased. Please help us now to be mindful of others as we find our speed and rhythm back to seeing people and doing what we feel safe to do. Help us to show love and respect for everyone around us, knowing that we all have our own response to the situation and what is happening. Sovereign Father, give to the governing authorities wisdom in their management of this crisis. We also continue to ask that there will be increasing equity in the distribution of the vaccine around the world. We are privileged to be in Australia, and we know there are so many people who still don't have access to a vaccine. Please give global leaders the courage and strength to make wise decisions for all people in all countries. Lord God, we thank you for answering so many of our prayers about this situation over the past 18 months. We acknowledge that you are sovereign in all things, including this pandemic, and we thank you for looking after us as a local community and keeping us safe at this time. We know that this is not because of anything we deserve or merit in and of ourselves, but it is thanks to who you are and your protection of us. Thank you, Lord God. Amen. Saving Father, we thank you for the work of Anglicare in prisons across New South Wales. We thank you for the many opportunities which are created for your saving word to be made known and for your light and truth to be proclaimed for inmates and staff. Lord God, we thank you for the provision of dedicated and specially designed chapel space within various prisons that the inmates can have access to every day, and the witness that having chapel is for these people in prison. We thank you that these opportunities exist and your kingdom can be extended in this way to all people. We ask that in your mercy, you will open the hearts and minds of many to see the message of redemption that comes from turning to Christ as Lord and Saviour. Heavenly Father, we ask that you will prosper the work of Anglicare in honouring your name in the prison work that they continue to perform. Amen. Lord God, our foundation and rock, we thank you for the leadership of our diocese and thank you especially for the Most Reverend Kanishka Raphael, our Archbishop. We ask that as he steers a course of coming out of lockdown, that you will give him insight into how to lead the diocese at this complex time. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the wider team of bishops and other staff across the diocese. We ask that you will give them unity of purpose and help them to work as a cohesive and collaborative team on behalf of your people. Heavenly Father, we bring before you all our brothers and sisters across the diocese today and ask that you will bless each parish as it meets today. Amen. Let us pray that God will make us one in mind and heart. Father, help us to seek the values that will bring us lasting joy in this changing world. In our desire for what you promised, make us one in mind and heart. Grant this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, for ever and ever. Amen. Heavenly Father, we give you great thanks for this parish. We thank you for the unity we have as we strive to more and more be growing as followers of Jesus together. Work within us by your Spirit to help us to clothe ourselves as your people with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness and patience. Give us open and generous hearts and the willingness to forgive each other as you have forgiven us. Please work your peace in our lives and give us thankful hearts so that whatever we do it all in your name, giving thanks to you for everything. Heavenly Father, we also have a number of people who have special needs at this time. We bring them before you now, turning to you and trusting that you will provide what is needed in all ways and at all times. Amen. Lord our Father, we bring all these matters and others on our hearts to you through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Thank you, David. We just have a couple of announcements. We have good news. We return to meeting face-to-face on Sunday, the 28th of November. If you've been listening in over these past few months and would like to join us, you will be most welcome. Church meets at 9:30 a.m. at St. Andrew's Anglican Church, Abbotsford, on the corner of Civic and Byrne Avenue. You are always welcome. The service will continue to be recorded in the coming weeks and when we return. Next Sunday, the service includes Holy Communion, the Lord's Supper. Even though we can't meet face to face just yet to remember God's love for us in Christ Jesus and the love we ought to have for one another, we can still do so in this way from a distance in our homes. Thinking about going back, I'm interested to know what you are looking forward to about going back to church. What have you missed? What are you hoping to do again? I've had a couple of people say the great thing they're going to be looking forward to do is singing in December. I think others would be interested too to know. So give me a call or send me an SMS or an email with your name and tell me at catch-up time tonight on Zoom your thoughts, and we'll add them into the news and notes over the coming weeks leading up. Well, today we've been reminded that humility is something to rejoice in. It's how we encourage one another for being humble, having the mindset of Jesus Christ in relationship with one another, putting the interests of others before our own, is conducting ourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel. Well, we come to the end of our meeting together. Thank you for joining us for church. Join again next week. Before we leave, let me close with a prayer and join with me in our final song. Gracious God, you made an eternal covenant with us through the blood of your Son and brought him back from the dead as the great shepherd of your sheep. Equip us with everything good for doing your will. Work in us what is pleasing to you through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. The Lord be with you, and also with you.
Jesus Christ, in very nature God, did not grasp hold of his place on the throne, but took on the nature of a servant, made himself nothing, born as a man, being found in appearance as a man, he was obedient. God the Son, the Maker, a humble servant, showing the way. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place, and gave him the name above all names, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. His Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Jesus Christ, in very nature God, did not grasp hold of his place on the throne, but to God, the nature of a servant, of nothing, born as a man, being found in appearance as a man, he was obedient to death on a cross. There he died, God the Son, the Maker, a humble servant, showing the way. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place.